There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast and the Indiana Rutgers pregame show. We have a good show setting up the game for you on Saturday. The game kicks off at noon at High Point Solutions Stadium in Piscataway. The 4-4 Indiana Hoosiers take on the 2-6 and winless in the Big Ten Rutgers Scarlet Knights. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. We'll bring in co-host TJ Inman here shortly. I'm coming live from New York, and TJ's in Indianapolis. But first, I want to give a shout out to all our listeners who are Cubs fans as well. There was a heck of a win and a heck of a game last night. And enjoy it. Listen to the podcast too, but enjoy the win and enjoy the World Series championship. So, TJ, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I second those thoughts. I'm a Cubs fan, not as emotionally connected to it as I am with IU football or basketball. But I became a Cubs fan with their run during the Steve Bartman year, and I've watched a good portion of every game since then. And I would be lying if I said I didn't lose faith a little bit last night and start to believe there was something to all the curse talk last night when they gave up a 2-run home run to tie the game up. But it was an amazing baseball game, first and foremost, and a really cool sporting event. And I'm really happy for the people that I interact with online and for that are Cubs diehards, and for the people I know personally that are Cubs diehards. I know they've waited a very, very long time for this, and there's a lot of people that are feeling kind of fulfilled today, and they saw something they never thought they would. So I second those thoughts. Very, very cool event. As for this week with Indiana, it's something we haven't seen for a long time. Certainly it has not been 108 years, but we have not seen Indiana with a winning record in the month of November, and we have a chance to see that with an IU win on Saturday if they can take care of business in New Jersey. So that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, it's only been 9 years, but it might feel like 108 to some. But anyway, coming into this game, it's a big game for several reasons. One, this could be your fifth win of the year. Two, as you said, TJ, this gets you over 500 in the month of November for the first time since 2007 and sets you up well to get that sixth win with Penn State coming in next week and Purdue at the end of the year. So you'll have two shots at getting six – or three shots, really, at getting six wins with, you know, the middle game of that being on the road at Michigan, which is, you know, 99.9% of the time IU's going to lose up there. I don't think they've won there since the 60s, and everything goes wrong up there. But it gives you two shots to get bowl eligible before the season's set. And really, you could set your sights on maybe where Indiana will go. But anyway, TJ, IU is a two-touchdown favorite, which is another rarity on the road in the Big Ten for the Hoosiers. You know, this game, I think, you know, I've been talking to fans and people have been commenting on it. And the next step, logical step in IU football is, you know, let's beat the teams we're supposed to beat. And Rutgers is a team, regardless of home or road, is a team you're supposed to beat. You're a two-touchdown favorite against a team who's winless in the Big Ten, has two wins overall. They played some teams tough, but, you know, they lost. They're coming off a narrow loss where they had a late lead against Minnesota on the road, and Minnesota kicked a last-second field goal. They lost to a bad Illinois team at home, and then you had the back-to-back, you know, 58-0 and 78-0 losses to Michigan. And this team really changed when Jenerian Grant went down against Iowa at the beginning of the Big Ten season. But this is a team that Indiana needs to start fast, score some points, get some tack-on points. And I'll reference the game last night. And, you know, you see the Cubs opened up a lead. Now, you know, there was a point in time where they had – I think they had the bases loaded and could have scored some more runs. That's what Indiana needs to do, is the football equivalent of putting up that picket fence, is just keep piling the points on, make it more difficult for a team who's, you know, averaging 307 total yards of offense and 18.5 points per game on the year. To, you know, if you just put some points out, you could take their will to win and just crush it. And I think that's the next logical step for IU football. Instead of playing down to your opponent, let's see them play their brand of football and play to their highest level and see what you could do against a bad Rutgers team.
You certainly hope that's the mindset they come into this with. We touched on it a tad bit on the Maryland postgame show. Kind of the mentality that IU needed to have this week was one of not being satisfied with yourself after beating Maryland. Yeah, you got the 4-4, good job, but you know, you celebrate that win for a little bit. I know it's typically referred to as 24-hour rule. You celebrate that for 24 hours, and then you forget about it, and it's on to the next game, and you have to prepare. And the IU players talked about it before the Maryland game, about having to do the little things, get back to doing the fundamentals and the little things, pay attention to those, do them right during the week leading up to that Maryland game. And then afterwards, they said, we did that this past week. We did that. We got back to it, got back to the basics, took care of them, and did those little things well that won us that game. Now, you could argue
as long as it wasn't special teams.
Right, and some stupid penalties, taunting, and then a roughing the passer that ended up not mattering other than the scoreline. But still, they did a better job than they had been doing, particularly with, you know, blocking assignments, not picking up holding penalties, executing inside the red zone for the most part. So they did those things better. But, yeah, it wasn't perfect. So they need to have that same focus, mentality throughout this week of practice. We have no clue if that's what's being done, but we have to hope that it is. And then on Saturday, like you said, come out, establish yourself early, establish your game plan early, and force Rutgers to chase you. And then just keep pulling away from them. Don't give them a chance to pull off the upset. It's a game that I'm sure they come in after their bye week with a new quarterback. This is going to be just his second career start, Giovanni Rossigno. They feel, I'm sure, like after their bye week, that they've figured some things out. They're going to have a little bit more confidence than they've had in quite a while, just out of not being on the field for 2 weeks and then probably feeling like they've fixed some of the problems that they saw on film from their first games. And then the last game that they played was against Minnesota, and it's the best game they've played all year. So they're going to feel pretty confident. So it's important for Indiana to get off to that good start and kind of, I don't want to say put them back in their place, because Rutgers has beaten Indiana the 2 times they've played in conference. But this particular edition of Rutgers, they're just 2-6. Make sure you remind them early, you're winless in conference for a reason. Yeah, you might be better than you were when you got hammered by Ohio State and Michigan, but we're still a pure team and we still control how things are going to go today. So that's going to be the important mindset that you do from a strictly physical on-field standpoint, not taking into account any of the intangibles. It's going to be a different attack than what Indiana saw against Maryland, but Rutgers is still going to have an emphasis on running the ball with a trio of running backs. They've got a pretty good stable. I don't think that any of these guys the Rutgers has are as good as Ty Johnson. I feel very confident in saying that. They might not be as good as Lorenzo Harrison either, but they're about at that level, Lorenzo Harrison's level. You know, they definitely miss Janarian Grant, there's no doubt. He was the biggest big play explosive threat that they had, both on special teams and if they could get him the ball on offense, but he's out for the year. So you're going to see them hand it off to Robert Martin if he plays. He's listed as day-to-day. He missed the Minnesota game. He's their leading rusher, averaging 5.3 yards a carry. Then they've got Justin Goodwin, who carried the ball the most against Minnesota, and he's pretty equal to Robert Martin. I'd say those two are interchangeable, and then Josh Hicks, a little bit of a different back. But those three are going to be what you see, a difference from the Maryland run game. You're not going to see near as much misdirection, near as much motion from the outside. It's more of a traditional run game, and then they'll use play action to throw deep. Their coaches mentioned in their press conference this week that they wanted to continue to allow Giovanni Rusigno to kind of develop his deep ball. They feel like he has a very strong arm, but so far the receivers this season have not been able to come down with too many deep passes. And they, during the press conference, they kind of put the blame on the receivers for not coming down with it. It seemed like they were pretty happy with Rusigno's deep ball, just the receivers, mainly Andre Patton and Juwan Harris are going to be those guys that they try to target deep, which I'm okay with. Indiana's done a pretty good job of particularly Rashard Fant and A'shaun Riggins and even Marcelino Ball we saw in deep coverage. They've done a pretty good job with deep coverage so far this season. I'm all right if Rutgers wants to take a bunch of deep shots. They might hit one or two of them, but I think on the whole it'll come out in Indiana's advantage. But
yeah.
You know, you'll see them try to pound the ball. And Indiana, I would think, after the success they had on Saturday with the running game, I would really hope that that's the mentality Indiana comes out with as well. I think both teams will definitely want to try and establish the line of scrimmage as being theirs, and it's going to be important for IU to try and make sure that last week was not a one-game fluke, that they've actually found the rushing attack. Are they going to run for 414 again? Yeah, I mean, you highly doubt that. But there's no reason they can't
Rutgers,
have a really good day on the ground again.
Yeah, well, Rutgers is giving up 261.1 yards on the ground. Maryland, you know, over their last three was giving up 292. This is a team, again, that Indiana, especially with Dan Feeney, now two games back and you know, getting into better game shape and seeing him, maybe he could play the entire game. Now, I know Jacob Bailey came in and spelled Feeney a couple of times and played really well, but having a full strength Dan Feeney back, I mean, it opened up holes and gave that running game some confidence. Even with the bacon and legs, offensive package there, you'll probably see that again. We'll see how Rutgers can adjust to it. They have it on tape now. They're able to game plan it. That's something Maryland didn't do. They were not expecting it. It caught them off guard. DJ Durkin said for some of the game, it looked like the entire game that offense could do whatever it wanted it to against Maryland. And then you have, you know, Richard Lego coming in and throwing the ball well, well as well. So you have now a multi-dimensional offense that's causing problems for defenses. You know, they looked like they went really fast. Probably the fastest they've gone all season.
I agree.
In the first quarter there when they got off to that 13-0 start. And even with changing the quarterbacks and the packages, they still went fast, which is great. And it's good to see. And as long as they can block those plays, they'll run them. And we'll see how IU adjusts off of Rutgers' adjustments. But this is a team that, you know, IU, this is not – you're not going into the horseshoe. You're not playing to get into the fourth quarter close. You've got to go in there and keep in mind what happened last year. When IU blew leads in the first half, and the second half and ultimately lost 55-22 or 55-52. You know, just keep going, keep your foot on the gas and get it going. Now the defense is much improved over last year, and we've all seen it. One of the things in my numbers to matter, TJ, was Rutgers has put the ball on the ground 15 times. So they have 15 fumbles. They've lost 10 of them. The ball is going to hit the turf on Saturday for Rutgers. You have a ball hawk linebacker like Marcus Oliver, who is now, you know, sits atop of the lead of forced fumbles. You have safeties who are ripping at the ball. So, you know, Tom Allen's going to be licking his chops to get, you know, takeaways any way he can on Saturday. And I think Rutgers is a team that, you know, like any bad team, there's a reason they're 2-6 and 0-5 in the Big Ten. It's, you know, they don't do things very well. And, you know, and there are a lot of things to look at, the giveaways. They're giving up 260 plus yards on the ground. They're scoring, I think they're 7 for 18 on red zone touchdowns, 13 for 18 on red zone scores. So they've only been inside the 20, 18 times. So they don't do a lot great. And then, you know, finally Alex wrote on his matchup to watch is the IU pass rushers against this Rutgers offensive line. I think Rutgers has given up 21 sacks. And we'll see, you know, IU got 4 sacks last week against Maryland. Yes, some of them might have been because of the runs by Perry Hills, but this is an offensive line that's struggling, and IU can get pressure on it, whether it be from, a Marcelino Ball or a Tigre Scales or just the front four, getting some push. And you saw Nate Hoff and those guys really drive those offensive linemen from Maryland back into the quarterback and really disrupt the pocket. So to me, there's a reason Rutgers is bad, and IU's got to come into this. You know, you don't want to take them lightly, but you have to realize this is a team that we should beat, that we should beat by more than 2 touchdowns, and let's go do it.
I think the most interesting thing defensively for me to watch, the past 2 games against Northwestern and Maryland, the first half defense was not up to the standard that we've seen the rest of the season. They have made adjustments and played better in the second halves of both of those games. Against Maryland, the adjustment was setting the edge better on the perimeter, which against Northwestern that was the case too, but I thought against Maryland it was just the tackling in space was a little bit better than it had been, and you're able to get Maryland. All it took against Maryland was getting them off schedule a little bit, and their offense would fall apart. For Rutgers, it could be a fairly similar thing. You need to continue like we saw against Northwestern in the second half. We saw it against Maryland in the second half. If you can get this offense off schedule, you feel pretty good about your chances to either, like you said, make them make a mistake by putting the ball on the ground or just forcing them into a punting situation. The way Indiana's secondary has been playing, I think that I'd be pretty confident if Indiana can routinely put them into third and medium, third and long positions with this inexperienced quarterback, Giovanni Rusigno. They will also play looks like they're going to try to play a quarterback, Tyler Owen, or Tylan Odin, excuse me. Tylan, yeah, weird name, but
yes.
He will get a little bit of game action, it looks like. He played briefly last week, and the coaching staff said this week that they want to try to get him live game reps. There's barely – I don't have hardly any film watching him. I went back and watched all of Rutgers games, and I didn't see much that's going to tell me what kind of player he was. I tried doing quite a bit of research, didn't see that either. Appears to be more of a dual-threat guy than Rusigno is, so maybe we'll
see
him.
He's carried the ball 23 times for 96 yards. He looks like a guy who kind of like Maryland used Pigrom in terms of they're going to – he's an athletic guy. They're going to try and get a mismatch on the outside and see him to use like that. He's only thrown five passes, one completion, and it was for 2 yards. So I don't know if they're going to trust him to throw the ball all that much. But, you know, seeing Rossigno, he's – completing 57.1% of his passes. So, you know, none of these guys are you know, John Elway out there. He's thrown three interceptions this year. And so, you know, let's see what this defense could do. Let's be aggressive and see what they could do. And then, you know, you got to watch, as you said earlier, the rushing game. Robert Martin, I believe, had three touchdowns last year against IU.
Yep.
He's a terrific back. He should be back. I think he was listed on the injury report for Rutgers, but he should be back and available for IU. I don't know in what capacity, but if he plays, that's a guy who runs hard. He averages 5.3 yards a carry, and he could break a long one. But you know, this is a team you cannot let this team hang around. They did that last year, and they had some hope. So. You know, you can't let them hang around. You can't let this young quarterback get comfortable in the pocket and start completing passes. So, you know, if it takes you a series or two to figure it out on defense, make those adjustments and make them quickly, and hopefully you hold them to field goals.
Yeah. The red zone will continue to be a point of discussion for us. You know, last week, Indiana did a tremendous job of, it was more the bacon and legs package that kind of solved the red zone issues, it seems, that they were able to do that. Indiana ended up with, I think it was 6 of 8, is that right? 6 of 8 on red zone opportunities. And then one of those that was not converted was a missed field goal after a taunting penalty. So, it was better. It wasn't perfect, but if you can get 6 of 8 every week, you'll feel pretty good about your chances to win the game. So that was better. And yeah, if Rutgers does get down there, you want to try to hold them to field goals and then make your adjustments to prevent them from getting down to the red zone in the future. As far as injuries go for Indiana, Brandon Knight not going to play this week. Delroy Baker, likely to get the start, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so. He played very well last week, and then you might see some other guys come in. But, you know, he played well, and, you know, this is his shot to make a case for that position, for the tackle position next year. You know, we're to start on the line next year. So, you know, it's time for him to send a message. And, you know, the other injury, we have not gotten an injury update on Mike Majette, who went out last week with, it looked like a leg injury. And who knows? Wilson's calling Brandon Knights. Go ahead.
What do you think Indiana does we do not know. So this is speculation on our part, but let's say that Mike Majette can't go this week. That would leave Indiana without Cole Guest, without Mike Majette. So you're looking at Divine Redding, Tavernity, who it appears they're not going to use as a traditional running back very often, unless we see another wrinkle this week, which could happen. But so it's going to leave you with Redding and Devontae Williams, who barely received any one carry maybe against Maryland, but he's not received very many carries so far this year. I thought he looked pretty good a couple weeks ago, but he didn't see the field much last Saturday except for returns. So do you think Indiana would go to Rodriguez as the next back, or maybe does Clyde Newton actually get a carry, or what do you think happens if Mike Majette can't go?
Interesting you bring Clyde Newton up. I don't think he's made a road trip for a while probably the FIU game. I know he wasn't at Northwestern. I don't think he traveled to Ohio State. But, you know, at the beginning of the season, this would be a perfect spot for Clyde Newton.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Majette can or can't go. For the sake of argument, let's say he can't. I would think that Alex Rodriguez, who's gotten scout team honors, you know, for most of the season, he's a hard runner who can carry the ball. And then maybe you see Ricky Brookins back there as well. He knows the offense. He knows how to play running back. They moved him to slot, but he could be a guy who could get a couple of carries as well. But this is a game where, you know, this might be the game that Devontae Williams breaks out, that you might see Tyler and AT get more carries. I know he had 18 last week, but he might get the same number, maybe even crack that 20 mark. You might see Devine Redding get more carries. And then, you know, they played Xander Diamont at halfback as well, taking handoffs. So, you know, they'll slide him in there. Hopefully Majette plays. He shows some great burst. Again, especially with Dan Feeney back, that screen pass is looks like a deadly weapon again. So
they welcome sight to see
back.
That play.
Yeah, I looked at the injury again.
All season.
I looked at the injury again, and on ESPNU, which is awful. Like, their broadcast is terrible. But that's another podcast for another day. But it didn't look too bad. It looked like he you know, twisted an ankle or pulled a hand. I think he was holding his hamstring. So, you know, maybe with a little rest and some treatment, he'll be back. But I think they'll be okay on the ground. It's not like they're going up against a real stout rushing defense. And you could feel pretty comfortable with Devine Redding against this defense. So it'd be nice to have Majette there, but you could finagle however you want to with the guys you have on the roster. And you know, missing in action is Clyde Newton. And he's a guy in the preseason when they talked to Coach McCullough, he said he was going to play, and now he's not even traveling with the team to road games. So who knows what his effort has been like in practice. It looked like his effort was good during fall camp. He was running hard. And all those things, but who knows, as the season goes along, it's your senior year, and you haven't seen the field all that much, and it's got to be frustrating for him. But, you know, we'll see on Saturday when they come out for warm-ups if he's there and if Majette's up. But it would be I would think you're going to get a heavy dose of Redding, Tyler Natee, and Devontae Williams, and Xander Diamont, whether he's running at quarterback or taking handoffs from Natee.
Yep, that would seem to be the logical thing, and then you'd have Rodriguez as kind of a emergency, or just, you know, help you get some fresh legs late in the game if you're just running out the clock, which we hope is the case. That'll be just an interesting little subplot to keep an eye on. Maybe it's some guys getting a bit more work than what they've been accustomed to so far, like Devontae Williams, or maybe an Alex Rodriguez getting some work after good work on the scout team. We'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. Or maybe Mike Majette's perfectly fine and he goes and resumes the role that he had last week, which was a good game for him. So we'll see how that happens. I think that'll be interesting to watch. And I'm also really looking forward to seeing how Richard Legault kind of backs up what was a very efficient performance on Saturday. I know that he did not have sparkling numbers, but I thought he played his best game on Saturday, better than he'd looked, more comfortable than he'd looked, running the tempo, and I thought, decision-making wise, there was only one, maybe two poor decisions that he made. None of them proved to be costly. And I thought that when they did ask him to make plays, which wasn't all that often thanks to the great success of the running game, but when he was asked to make plays, he did. And I thought that was pretty impressive. Overall, I thought he did a nice job of, I will not say a game manager, but I thought he was very efficient on Saturday, and if we get that from Richard Legault moving forward, I feel really good about the Rutgers game, really good about the Purdue game, and you feel like you got a real shot against Penn State if he can give you that kind of efficient performance.
Yeah, and to go back to Lego, he made plays when he needed to, and especially on that first drive where if IU goes three and out, out come the moan and groans about this offense. And he and give credit to Nick Westbrook, too, because he made a great catch in traffic. But that first third down throw and going 4 for 4 on that drive before you know, before being replaced by the bacon and legs package, you know, he looked more confident. I think he's comfortable, and it seems like him and Diamant have a good relationship. They're, you know, high-fiving and chest-bumping each other on the sidelines when each has success. So maybe this is the kind of offense that they need, is to run in and out, and, you know, hopefully he keeps warm. I think the weather's supposed to be decent. It might be a little chilly. But that's one of the things that could concern you running this offense, is how is Lego going to stay warm on the sideline when he's taken out for, you know, a handful of plays or so. And it didn't affect him against Maryland because it's close to 80 degrees and really don't get, you know, that tight on the sidelines. But going forward, it should be colder weather the next four games. So we'll see. But this is a game that he can hopefully let some passes rip, gain some more confidence, and build off of that good performance. So, TJ, let's get into some predictions before we let our listeners go back to enjoying their celebrations on the Cubs World Series. So what's your prediction going forward?
I do think that the Rutgers offense is in better hands with Rossigno than it was. He looked better against Minnesota than Chris Laviano did at any point during his time as Rutgers quarterback this year. So I do think Rutgers and their I think their offense is okay. It's definitely not good without Janarian Grant, but I think it's okay. And I think Indiana's defense will, again, struggle a little bit for a brief period of time before making some adjustments. I like where IU's offense is at right now. I think they're going to have a ton of confidence coming off of their performance against Maryland. And I do think they understand the urgency of how well they need to play on Saturday to back up a good performance against Maryland. So I like Indiana to keep running the ball well. And I think this Rutgers secondary, not a weak spot for them. It's not particularly great either. They give up a pretty high number of or high level of efficiency to the opposition. I think it's second highest efficiency given up in the conference. They don't give up a ton of yards. That's probably because people just run on them. So I like Indiana to put up some points. I'm going to go Indiana scoring 38, Rutgers scoring 20. So Indiana wins 38-20, covers that spread. I don't care about that, though. It's all about getting that fifth win and setting yourself up to go back to the postseason.
Yeah, this is, you know, it's about getting that fifth win, getting two in a row. You know, it's about winning on Saturday, and that's what the coaches are going to say. We can only play the game that's in front of us, and the game that's in front of them is Rutgers. It's a game where you want to start changing people's perceptions that you're more than just a mediocre team who plays up and down to their competition. This is it. This is how you send a message to recruits, to fans, to the rest of the league, to say that, hey, we're taking care of business and we're going to go on the road and beat teams that we should beat and take care of business. So I think IU is going to continue to get the run game going. I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is a defense they should be able to run against. They should be able to pass against. It shouldn't be a one-dimensional offense. I'm going to go Indiana 42, Rutgers 21. I will double them up. It's, you know, an offense that might break a few big plays on IU's defense. Although IU has, you know, before last week hadn't given up a rush over 30 yards. So we'll see. I don't think Robert Martin is as fast as Ty Johnson is, who looked very much like Tevin Coleman out of the Maryland backfield. But this is a game that IU, they'll be able to run the ball. They should be able to pass the ball. I think the weather's okay in terms of the wind. That stadium, the wind, I don't think plays a huge factor. It's closed on both sides. I think Lego is going to be able to throw it out to his receivers with relative ease. And, you know, you got Dan Feeney back, third game back. He's back in a better rhythm, and you're going to see IU hopefully bulldoze this Rutgers team, and then you go into Penn State with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, that's the hope. I think you're definitely hoping not to have a nail biter on Saturday and just be able to control things from the get go. I don't expect a total lopsided victory, but I'm hoping Indiana plays a really solid game. So, like you said, get that fifth win and feel really good about how well you're playing. You know, it's not easy to win against Big Ten opposition. So if you can get back-to-back Big Ten wins, that's a rarity for Indiana. Not something you never see, but it's something that doesn't happen all that often. So if
well,
you can
happened,
do it for
it
a second
last
straight
year,
season.
And it happened
right, yeah.
In 20 – did it happen in 2013? I know it happened in 2012. I think 2012
yeah.
was the last time it happened before last year. So it's
yeah,
not a total rarity,
but it's – if you can do it in back-to-back years. No, if you can do it in back-to-back years, it's a – that's an accomplishment, but the most important thing is to put together a solid performance, back up what you did against Maryland, get to 5-4, and then get ready for a big win against Penn State. A loss on Saturday would be a huge step back and put a ton of pressure on the Penn State game, which, you know, you saw
would
the
probably
all
be
the college,
a noon game as well.
Yeah, if you saw the college football playoff rankings, Penn State apparently the 12th best team in the country. So take that for what you want. And I don't agree with it, but hey, it's a game that Indiana will be an underdog in, regardless of what happens this weekend. So this is a game that IU needs to come out, take care of business, get that fifth win, and then we'll worry about style points later on. But I kind of feel like Indiana found something last Saturday, just in terms of confidence, that I hope will carry over against Rutgers and be able to have a pleasant afternoon after a good IU win.
Yes, and, you know, I'll be happy sitting in traffic in New Jersey on the way back to Manhattan after an IU win. But, TJ, thanks for joining us, and that'll do it for our pregame show. Check back with HoosierHuddle.com all week. We'll have our game day primer coming out tomorrow. We'll have live tweets from the game on Saturday, as well as our game story and game wrap and reaction. Enjoy it. The game kicks off at noon. It's on Big Ten Network, so check your local listings, and have a great rest of the day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.